Let me just start in Joshua chapter 11. Begin reading in verse 1. Everybody have that? Say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things, that he sent to Jobab, king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Ashphath, or something like that. I'm picking out subjects with hard words today, and it's my fault. I should know better. And to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and on the plains south of Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, and to the Amorite and to the Hittite, the Perizzite and the Jebusites and the Mosquito Bites and the Termites. Sorry. I have to do that. It's hard not to. In the mountains and to the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they, all these that were listed before that, and they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, even as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude, with horses and chariots, very many. So you get the picture. A lot of people have teamed together coming against the children of God. Okay? And verse 5. And when all these kings were met together, they had a meeting of the mind, so to speak, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them. And here's my text tonight. For tomorrow, about this time. I know where I'm going. That's why I'm getting blessed already. For tomorrow, about this time, will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. You realize that the odds were stacked against them. And God still says, for tomorrow, about this time, will I deliver them up, all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hawk their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came, and all the people of war with him, against them by the waters of Merom, suddenly, and they fell upon them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who smote them and chased them unto the great Zidon, and unto a very long word I can't pronounce, and go next one, and unto the valley of Mizpah, eastward, and they smote them, until they left them none remaining. And Joshua did unto them as the Lord bade him. He hawked their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. We'll stop there. I'm going to preach tonight on this subject. Tomorrow, about this time. Tomorrow, about this time. Have you ever been frustrated in your walk with the Lord? We just say frustrated. Just aggravated. Have you had battles since you've been saved? Have you fought burdens? Have you faced storms? Of course, we all have. You know, there are some believe that when they get saved, that's all over. But that's absolutely not true. Sometimes getting to where God wants us to get requires a fight. It requires a battle. It requires storms. Sometimes reaching the promised land of our victory will have some wilderness experiences before we get there. Sometimes there'll be battles to fight. Sometimes there'll be giants to face. But listen, any place that God is taking us is worth fighting for. Let me say that again. Any place that God is taking us is worth fighting for. And I'm really tired of the enemy stepping in and taking what doesn't belong to him. But let me flip that around and tell you this. I'm tired of you letting it go so easily. And see, the reason why people are letting it go so easily, I already feel the Lord tonight. I don't know about you, but I'm already plugged in. And I'm ready to preach this tonight. But the reason why some of you all are letting it go is because you have nothing invested in it. We want the exceeding abundant beyond life, but we don't want to fight for it. We don't want to do anything to get it. We want it handed to us on a silver platter. We don't want to face things. We don't want to go through storms. We don't want to do this and we don't want to do that. And yet we want the blessings of God without the battles that accompany it. Now, my generation, especially, and I'll use this illustration, but you understand where I'm getting at. Two or three generations before me, and still some of y'all, the older ones, still make things from scratch. Now, what my generation calls making from scratch is to buy the cans of cinnamon rolls of Pillsbury and lie them out on the pan, and about 12 to 14 minutes, I think it is. You understand, I've done that a lot. And you let the frosting sit under the oven light, and it melts just right, and the greatest success in life is to make sure enough frosting is evenly spread on all the cinnamon roll. Somebody say amen right there. But when I get done, I'll yell to the kids and I'll yell to Heather, "Hey guys, I made cinnamon rolls. I did not make anything. I simply followed directions." And yet some of you all want your Christian life to be like the Pillsbury cinnamon rolls. You don't want to have anything invested in, and everybody knows that homemade cinnamon rolls are way better than Pillsbury. Somebody say amen right there. You know why? Because there's something invested in it. It took work to get it done. Cinnamon rolls from Pillsbury don't take work. I'm just following directions. That's why some of y'all want your blessings to come in life. You want it just to do this and that and don't have any effort in it, and you want to pop out cinnamon rolls and say, "Lord, well, look at me." But sometimes it don't come that way. Listen, you won't let things go so easily when you fought for them. You won't let your kids go so easily if you fight for them and you pray for them. And some of y'all, I know, you fight. Some of y'all face battles. And I'm here to encourage you tonight. You ain't going down without a fight. There's a tomorrow for your battle. Oh, hallelujah. Storms don't last forever. There's a tomorrow for what you're going through today. There's a tomorrow for it. See, the children of Israel had already encountered opposition. From the time they got to the promised land and from the time Joshua took over, they had already encountered opposition and war and all these things. They had conquered kings. They had conquered kingdoms in previous chapters. And then now we get to chapter 11 and verse 1. And I want you to notice a couple of words here that really jumped out at me. And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, had heard those things. That's what struck me. What things did he hear about? I'll tell you what he heard about. He heard about what had happened the previous 10 chapters. He heard about all the wars they had won. He heard about all the lands they had conquered. And now Israel was setting themselves up for a defeat because, hey, we're going to get all these kingdoms together and they think they're really something. But we're going to come together and we're going to go get them because they heard about Israel. Joshua chapter 5, it talks about how the kings had heard about the children of Israel. Chapter 9 and chapter 10 all refer to how they heard about what Israel was doing and the lands they had conquered, because these were a people that shouldn't have been winning these battles, but they were winning, of course, from the help of God. You know, people will start fighting you when they start hearing about you doing something. They never fight what they don't hear about. There's some people that are angry at us. They come against us because they hear about what's going on at Rubyville. They will never come and see what's going on, but they hear about what's going on. And so for no reason at all, they're mad at us. They're angry at us. They hear that we're having great services. They hear that we're having capacity crowds. They hear that people, over 700 people got saved in 2013, and they're angry at us. They are. But you know what? They would never talk about us if we wasn't doing anything. The children of Israel, no one heard about them wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. That wasn't big news. They weren't doing anything. They were just wandering. But when they started doing something for God, then that's when the enemy stuck up his head and said, "Listen, I'm coming to get you." When they heard about what had happened, when word got out, then that provoked something in the enemy. See, nobody fights people they hear nothing about. And then in verse 5 of chapter 11, all these kings met together. Now, if you research this, and from what I've studied, these kings never got together one time before. In fact, they were enemies to one another. But yet, when the children of Israel were starting to rise up, then the kings that didn't like each other said, "Hey, we better join up if we're going to make these things happen, we better get together. And we better start liking each other if we're going to defeat the children of Israel. See, and you'll find out that people that don't like each other will come together just to try to upset the people of God. Because like kind attract like kind. And people that don't like each other will come together and they'll put aside their differences, so to speak, just to come against the people of God. And so, we have in our text tonight, I have 2 points to this message. But there's about 7 sub-points under each one of them. I'm just kidding about that. But when we look at this, and when we look at these scriptures, I want you to notice a couple of things. Number one, when you're dealing with the enemy, always anticipate a fight. Anticipate a fight. It should not surprise you that the enemy hates you. It should not surprise you that he's coming against you. It should not surprise you that you should not be shocked, because when you start making a decision to follow Christ and to choose God and to finally have God work a destiny and a purpose in your life, listen, you need to anticipate conflict. Because anytime you start doing anything for God, that's when the enemy is going to show up. I'm not surprised when the enemy comes against me. I'm not shocked anymore. I used to be. But what the attitude I'm starting to pray about and the attitude I'm starting to have is what took you so long to get here. Because see, I know he's coming. It's just a matter of when. So I'm not surprised that things come up against me. Yes, some things happen that goes beyond my imagination, and some burdens and trials knock the wind out of us, so to speak. But I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked. Every week, almost every week, we hear of people that are falling by the wayside, churches that are closing, and preachers that are succumbing to sin and getting out of the ministry. I'm not surprised. I'm not shocked anymore. Why? Because the enemy's working overtime to get to the children of God. So it doesn't surprise me when he comes at me. I just say, just bring it on. Because I know the winner in all this. Amen. Some of y'all don't like his preaching. That's okay. See, the enemy was coming from all sides. They were coming with everything they had. They were as numbered as the sands of the sea, it says in our text. As I mentioned to you earlier, the odds were against them. There's no way they should win. There's no way they even should get in this fight. But you know what? I like underdogs. And I don't mind being the underdog. People say we're crazy. People say we're losers in this life that we live because we choose to serve the Lord. But listen, I like being an underdog. I like going into a fight with people expecting me not to win. You know why? Because I go into the fight with the attitude I should have. See, if we go into every battle, if we go into every storm thinking too highly of ourselves, then we'll have the attitude we don't need God and we can do it ourselves. But if we go into a storm, if we go into a battle, if we go into a fight with the enemy, knowing that we can't win, then God has to show up on our behalf and God gets the glory. It's good preaching. Odds may be stacked up against us, but that means God's going to show up on your behalf. They all came against them. Why does everything come on you at once? You ever notice that? Seems like that's a common theme and common trait with storms and battles. Everything comes against us at once. What did it do? Why did they come against these people like they were at this point in time? It's because they were the children of God. And why do things come up against us the way they do? It's because if you live an anointed life, if you live sanctified life to God, you should expect more battles. You should expect more things coming against you. But the odds may be against you. But listen, the odds may be against your marriage. The odds may be against your finances. The odds may be against you getting a job. The odds may be stacked up against you that your business will succeed. The odds may be against you that your body will be healed. The odds may be against you that your children would be saved. But the Bible says in verse 6 of our text, and the Lord said, listen, God always has the final say.
All these things may be stacked up against you, but listen tonight. For everything the devil throws at us, God always has an answer. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Yes, first we should anticipate a fight, but secondly, we should accelerate our faith, knowing that the Lord God is with us. Listen, for every evil scheme, God has a word for it. Everything the devil tries to speak against us, God always has a response. The devil may speak loud, but it won't be as loud as the Word of God and what God says in His Word. Aren't you glad that when circumstances were out of control in your life, the Lord spoke up on your behalf? Whenever you were out in sin and you had no way to get to God, thank God Jesus spoke up on your behalf and said, "You're forgiven. You're forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ." Aren't you glad that when you needed money in the bank and you had more bills than you had money, God said, "I will provide all your need according to His riches and glory." Aren't you glad when you needed healed? God said, "By my stripes, you are healed." Aren't you glad when your marriage was in ruin? You went to the Lord, and what the devil tried to destroy, God broke down the strongholds and put it back together. I'm glad when God speaks up, things begin to happen. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you're shouting tonight. We should accelerate our faith. And this all happens in verse 6. We should accelerate our faith, number one, because fear is not an option. Fear is not an option. When God speaks up, fear is not an option. Why? Because the Lord said unto Joshua, "Be not afraid because of them." Tim is getting our Sunday school class to learn memory verses every 2 weeks. And the second one we learned was 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear is not an option when it comes to God. Fear should not be accepted when it comes to God. Fear is the enemy's domain. And when you allow fear to govern your choices, then you walk by fear. Listen, we don't walk by fear. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. Fear should not have any dominion over a child of God. Why? Because when God says, "Be not afraid," we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about the storm. We don't have to worry about the battles. When God says, "Be not afraid," thank God He has the authority. Fear is not acceptable. Be not afraid because of them. And then here's my text. "For tomorrow, about this time." See, we should accelerate our faith because fear is not acceptable. And secondly, the fight won't last too long. Oh, this is good. This is really good. The fight will end quickly, God said. You don't have to worry, Joshua. Set your time. Look at your watch. Look at the sundial. About 8:32, tomorrow your prayers will be answered. Oh, and I know God isn't governed on time. I know that. And I know that God wasn't saying that look on your clock and that by this time tomorrow, at this same exact time, your prayer... No, God was speaking more than just a time on a clock. He was speaking about a condition. He was speaking about a miracle that can happen in your life. Listen, how many of you have been praying for things and God hasn't answered them just yet? Maybe you're fighting a battle and you're still fighting tonight. Listen, God has wanted me to tell you tonight, trouble and fighting will not last forever. By this time tomorrow, God is going to make a way. Now listen, before you go home and saying, Brian says that tomorrow it's all going to happen, everything's going to come together, so I'll just quit my job. God's going to... No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is your tomorrow may be next week. Your tomorrow may be next year. Your tomorrow may be 5 years down the road. But I guarantee this. Hallelujah. I guarantee this, when he, not if, but when he does, when the battle is finally over, it'll be a lot shorter than what you had anticipated. That's what God was saying. He says, listen, I'm going to go beyond all time and measure. I'm going to answer your prayer, Joshua, by this time tomorrow. You see, look at the battle. Look at the enemy coming against you. You can't even see them all. There are so many. But listen, don't worry about it. Be not afraid. I'm going to fight your battle, and I'm going to do it quicker than you imagine. What do you need God to do for you by this time tomorrow? By this time tomorrow, your prayer is going to be answered. And listen, when he does, when the battle is won, and when you get victory, listen, it's not for you to sit on it and just say, I'm just going to sit here and just rejoice in it by myself. No, you need to tell somebody. You need to tell somebody. You need to tell somebody what God has done for you. I didn't expect a pay raise to come this quick. I thought it was every year, but now they're giving it every quarter. You say, Brian, is that God? Yes, it is. I'm telling you, by this time tomorrow, your prayer is going to come quicker than you imagine. I believe God to do it. You believe He can do it? You believe He can? You really do? Start praying that way. Start praying, Lord, I need an answer. I need an answer. I can't fight this battle any longer. I need an answer. I need an answer. And I guarantee He will show up. I guarantee He will answer a lot quicker than you can think or imagine. Fear is not acceptable. Fear is not an option to the child of God. And also the fight won't last much longer. But thirdly, under accelerating our faith. Look at what it said. Let me have your Bible. Let me have your Bible, Dave. Make sure these lawyer Bibles are the same as mine. Yeah, you're good. Be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time will I deliver them up all slain before Israel. Now listen, I had to study this out. Thou shalt hawk their horses and burn their chariots with fire. That was prophecy. There you go, Dave. See, fear is not an option. The fight won't last very long, and your foe will be rendered powerless. Now, the Lord showed me this afternoon. He did not say that the Lord will win the battle. Because when you're talking about winning a battle, that means there's always another chance for another contest down the road. Okay, let me explain it to you this way, Lucy and Ricky. SOC, we usually play each team twice. Am I correct? Usually that's the way the schedule. Now this year, forget about it. Everything's all messed up. But my daughter, she plays 8th grade basketball. Usually everybody in their division, they play twice a year. Now, let me ask you this. Now, my daughter, when they played Oak Hill, they won. But they did not render them powerless. They won. But they did not render them powerless. That meant that a few weeks down the road, Oak Hill's going to come back. And they're going to play again. But if Abby and Northwest would have rendered Oak Hill powerless, they ain't coming back. Okay. Now, y'all, some of y'all, you, let me do some more digging in here. Let's dig in a little deeper. It all happens in the end of that verse. They shall hawk their horses, H-O-U-G-H, and burn their chariots. God's prophesying. This is what you're going to do, Joshua. Can you imagine how many horses and chariots these people had? That was their power. That was their transportation. No doubt their chariots were made in such a way that they were almost impenetrable. But God said, I will render your enemies powerless. How's He going to do it? Joshua, you're going to do it. You're going to hawk the horses. What's that mean? What's that mean? I looked up that word. In the Hebrew, it means hamstring. So, I have no idea anything about horses.
Scared to death of animals of all types. So I'm not getting near a horse. I did it one time, fell off, no more for me. So I asked our in-house expert horse people, Justin and Amy Mullins. I said, what would happen if you cut the hamstring of a horse? And they said, goodbye, horse. Huh. And Justin said these words. He said, basically, they have no more power. Because the power of a horse is in their legs. They can't go. There's no speed. There's no power. Basically, if the army was putting their weight in the horses, that means the army has no weapons. So God said, you're not only going to win this battle, but I'm going to make it in such a way that they'll never bother you again. Man, that's good. That's good. That's good. You mean, Brian, there's going to come a day when we ain't going to fight anymore? Oh, yes, there is. There's going to come a day. Think about it. When's that day coming? That day's coming when Jesus gets on a white horse and the clouds will open up and He'll descend into this dusty tennis ball that we call earth, and He'll come and get us and take us home. And in that day, thank God, Satan and his armies will be rendered powerless. No more fighting. And we won't win, we will conquer. There's the difference. Think about it. So what's God telling us? Listen, expect to fight. Anticipate battles. Anticipate storms. They're going to come as a child of God. But I've given you great news and encouragement. If the battles do come, don't be afraid.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear's not an option. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm going to give you the weapons. I'm going to fight the battles for you. And quicker than you could think possible, your enemy is going to be rendered powerless and they'll never bother you again. You say, Brian, that can really happen? Oh, yes. I believe it can. See, we're trying to get this church to a level where every step that we take as children of God is a step of victory. We don't walk around in arrogance or with pride, but we walk in victory. There's a difference. Because we know that we could not take a step if it wasn't for God. We know that everything that we have on this earth, He gave it to us. And He's letting us use it for a little while until we get to heaven. And we also know that this battle that we're facing now, this storm that we're facing, may be the last one. And it could all be over tomorrow. By this time tomorrow, we could be in heaven. No more fighting. No more storms. No more battles. Our enemy will be rendered powerless. What a day that'll be.